and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And I said I was thinking about it the last few days, and this morning as I was really looking to the Lord to direct us today, I believed that the Lord directed me to look deeper into the meaning of different words, especially the word appeared. So I began to search into the word appeared. It has direct reference to the light of the sun, which when I began to meditate upon that, there were other scriptures that just came to light as I looked at, for the grace of God has appeared, or it's shined its rays down. It has appeared as something would appear in the sky. Maybe something you had longed for or hadn't seen for a while or was ready to see. As the night gives way to day, there's a scripture in the Psalms that says, "Weeping shall endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." And that verse means that it refers to a night visitor who leaves in the morning, but the visitor that comes then is the sun. Weeping is just for the night, but joy comes with the sunrise. This word appeared. It's shined down. It's come out like the sun. And here's some of the other scriptures that directly refers to. Luke 1 and 79. This was Zacharias filled with inspiration from God's Spirit, prophesying and bringing out the fulfillment of prior prophecies as he spoke of his own son John and also Jesus at John's birth, or at John's at his circumcision. These words he spoke about Jesus in verse 78, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring, talking about the sun, from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. So Christ, as the very Son of Righteousness, and that's another verse, Malachi chapter 3. Unto you that fear my name, verse 2, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. So this is what it really means, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. As in the literal, the scripture in Psalm 19 says that the sun, and this is what my dad used to preach on many, many times, the sun, as it goes forth, it sends a message to all men. We see it this morning. The other side of the world has already seen it, and the whole world gets to see and hear the gospel message preached by the sun. What is that message? It's a message that says this: do you have to do anything to make the sun shine on you? Do you have to punch in a code, pull hard on a rope, beat drums, stomp your feet, go without food? Any extreme measures you have to take to get the sun to shine on you? No. Does the sun shine only on good people? What's the message that we hear, what we get from this beautiful thought of the grace of God shining down as the rays of the sun? It's appearing to all people everywhere. And it's teaching. And I'll get into that in just a little bit, but there's a word there that's interesting. It's shedding forth. It is, sending healing, as this verse in Malachi, and also Psalm 67. This one was very telling, I thought, too, of this. Psalm 67. God, be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health to all the nations. That just joins right in there. To give light to the people who are in the shadow of death, to send health and healing. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. See all of these thoughts, and you're looking at it and you're seeing something that comes, it comes unbidden. You didn't do anything. You don't deserve it. It comes to you. You don't have to work for it. It comes freely. It comes abundantly, copiously. It comes with warmth and with healing. This verse in Malachi that said healing in his wings, the word wings means rays. It's healing rays of the sun, not just the literal sun, but who is the sun we're talking about? Who is the Son of Righteousness? Who is the day spring? The grace of God came to us by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses, John said, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So this word grace, it means a love that came of its own, a kindness, a tenderness. And the meaning of the word really is embodied in the thought of, I'm giving to you joyously and because I delight to give. Not because you're anybody, not because you're on a list and I have to do this, not because you deserve it, but it's because I love to give. Have you ever seen somebody like that? I knew a lady like that in my youth. She loved to give. She thought about it. She imagined it. She would design it. And she would think a lot about giving. She loved to do special things. This word grace is that way. God loves to give. It is. He is love. He is the embodiment of this. And in his son, he shows it in Jesus, how Jesus dealt with people and talked with people, the tenderness that he had with people, the healing that came out of him. It's all just, it's a fountain that comes from him of love, of tenderness and kindness, and a thought of doing that's such a joy to him. God doesn't dislike the fact that he's got to save you. You understand what I'm saying? There's some people that you get the thought, well, I know they are doing this to me out of duty. That's not how God loves. God doesn't love you because he has to. He doesn't show his kindness to you and teach you of his salvation because, well, you're one of those creatures and he's got to save you. That's not how God thinks about it. This word says it's appeared. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared. It's shining down like rays of the sun. In the same way, he put that up there to show us exactly what he's like. We were singing a while ago, number 58. And I have to tell you, I've had conflicts in my life, in my younger life, especially with that song. I liked it, but then we get to that verse that would say, if you're overcome when you would do right, if there's a deep aching void within, and there's a sting of guilt and a sinful blight that will keep you from entering in. And I always used to just, I'd get there and I'd be searching my heart. Yeah. Yeah, I've been that way. Yeah. I've overcome when I would do right. And it was a dark picture to me. And the thought of entering in thought, if I feel like this and if I died right now feeling like this, I know where I'd go. It'd keep me from entering into heaven. But you know, I never really understood what that was talking about. If you would not do the chorus right there, but you would go right to the next verse, it gives the answer to that dilemma. Listen how this works. If a deep aching void within, there's a sting of guilt and a sinful blight that will keep you from entering into what? to a blessed life. Yes, if you stayed in that, yes, it would keep you from entering heaven. But what does it go right to? All His grace is free. If you and I feel that way sometimes, there's something else that the Lord wants us to go right to. And remember, if I'm feeling like that, if I really in actuality have failed, the Lord, when I would want to do right and I have failed and feel like, oh, I've really messed this up. I meant to do right. I was overcome. I had inhibitions. I had fears. I had questions. I didn't know really what to do. The answer is in the next verse. All His grace is free. You can, I tell you what, when you're feeling like that, you don't feel like that you can get any better at that point. You just think, well, God's turned His face away from me, and I'm going to have to really, really toe the line here to get any help. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like I'm just not enough? No matter how hard I try, I'm not enough. I'll probably never be enough. I'll probably be this way till, and death will catch me unawares, and there I'll be. Now that is the enemy of your soul just wooling you around. Because the scripture, and backing up that song, says all His grace is free. As the air we breathe, we may each have a full supply. You know, we need to just back away and say, Lord, I know I need more grace in my life, but I'm not going to just close up to it anymore. What we do is we just kind of freeze up and close up to not only the tenderness and the giving delight of the Lord, but also His ability to help us. That's what, there's two meanings of the word grace in the concordance that I found. One is the unmerited divine favor. And the other is divine enablement, that an influence that causes us to be able to do what we would not be able to do. That's grace. And God loves to give that. He has it for us. He has a love and a tenderness that we do not deserve, and a divine enablement to do what we need to do. And it's free. It's as free as the air we breathe. It's as free and given to us as the sun rays out there. It's as strong, and I've mentioned this before, the influence of a sun on a plant. It's a strong influence. Grace is a strong influence. But you look at the influence of flowers. Have you ever seen a flower just absolutely turn with the sun? The sun rays did that. And that's what God with His grace, He does for us. We may have a certain bend and a certain opinion and a way of leaning and a way of thinking and doing. There is nothing. You could work on it for a long time and never get through that. But the divine grace of God can turn and influence a person. And it's free. It's freely given to us. It's right there available. Now, how do we access that? There's so many scriptures. Lord, help me. Let's go to the one in John. John 1. There's so many assurances of this grace to us. It's almost like we pass them over and still go, but why do we keep doing that? We need to believe the word of God. This is for me. It's promised for me. Christ brought it. I believe that Christ came and is the one who was to bring it. I believe He's the Messiah. But, and then we go back into our defeat and our shame, not realizing we have access to more grace. So He said here in John 1, verse 16, of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Now this is, again, we have a natural illustration Grace replacing grace, like a river. When you stand at a river, you see water going by. You stand there a minute later, it's not the same water, but it's water. And it's like that in our lives with grace. We have grace for this need and for that need, but our life goes on and we need new grace and we need more grace. And that's what this is saying. Grace replacing grace. Stand at the ocean and you see the waves come in and the undertow pulls it back and the waves come back in. That's another picture of grace. God has put pictures of His love and tender kindness and His thoughts toward us in so many things in nature. Why do we question it? Why do we not avail ourselves of it? Grace upon grace, like the waves of the sea, like the waves on the shore, always enough, always more. Grace, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Another one, Paul in his yearning over the Corinthians, second book of Corinthians, chapter 6. He had suffered. He had gone through some intense emotional suffering for these people. And hear his plea. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Don't let it come so copiously, so healing, so freely, and then not benefit from it. How can we receive it? How can we receive this fullness? How can we access it? How can we appropriate it? This word appropriate means to put it into our lives, to take it in, make it part of us. How can I do that? It's given so freely. He said, receive not the grace of God in vain. Don't let it just pass right on by. I remember hearing in my youth a man who had been out in sin. And he didn't think there was any hope for him. And I remember him testifying how that God spoke to him one day through one of our songs. And it said, grace is offered you, dear sinner. And he took hold of it. And he believed it. And he was so happy in that. And for years, he preached and rejoiced about that grace that was offered him. Sad to say, he failed of it and hasn't recovered to this point. But I remember hearing that sweet voice that spoke to a man that was deep in sin and said, grace is offered you, dear sinner. Receive not the grace of God in vain. There's other things that we can do concerning this grace. Galatians, let's see if I can find the scripture that I'm thinking of here. Galatians 2 and 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Don't let the free gift of Christ, living, dying, risen, coming, interceding, don't let that be in vain. Don't frustrate the free gift of God to you. We do this in our own minds. We frustrate it. We hinder it. I didn't look up that word frustrate. I wonder what that's real. There's probably an illustration because a lot of these words come from an action verb that gives you a word picture of what the meaning is. I didn't look that frustrate up. But I believe that that can happen to us when we try to accomplish all of God's working in us on our own. And make it my work when he said it's his work. Ephesians 2. Here's this word again that we started with, has appeared. Let's look at this now, starting with verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show, that's the same word as we have in Titus 2, appear, show. He wants to shine forth this grace. He might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then it says, lest we should get a wrong picture that, oh, it doesn't matter what we do, we're saved by grace. People need to go on to this next one. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He does want us to begin developing righteousness which comes from him in our lives, holiness, purity, separateness from the world, a complete break from the spirit and the course and the fashions and the mode of speaking and thinking and the mind view of the world. Yes, he wants that separation made, but he created us to do that. We are his workmanship. All of those things that we endeavor in that way do not save us. They're a result of the influence of his grace. So in that way, we could frustrate the grace of God. The grace of God given so freely to us to enable us to live holy and right, and then we insist that because of grace now, we don't have to live that way. That's frustrating the grace of God. So many people are doing that. That's the cheap gospel that's preached today in the churches, that, oh, it's all grace, and you don't have to live in any kind of way. And so you have a watered-down salvation that's really not a salvation that's out there today. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. How do I appropriate God's grace? How do I get there? What do I do? I need more grace. Let's see. James chapter 4, verse 6. This is a wonderful promise. But he giveth more grace. Should there be any question in my mind or in your mind today? And I've had them. I've said, Lord, I've just begged for your help and begged for your help. And do you have any more help for me? Because I really need help. And the Lord just would say, yes, he giveth more grace. You've been there yesterday asking for grace. You've been there today already. And now you've burned your candle up and you need more fuel. Yes, he gives more grace. And it says, wherefore he saith, and he's quoting from Psalms 136, 138, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto whom? Who does he give grace to? He gives them to us, but he said he gives grace to the humble person. He gives it to those people who realize their need. The one scripture that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Remember that? Those who are humble, what do they have that makes them so blessed? They have the kingdom of God, the kingdom of his grace given to them. Jesus said, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, everything you need. Do you ever read books about kings and queens and princesses and princes and knights and soldiers? Do you like to read books like that, stories about that? I always liked to when I was little. I always thought that would be so neat for a king to say to me, oh, what's your request? You can have it unto the half of my kingdom. I'll give you whatever you want. I used to spend a lot of time thinking about, what would I ask if a king said that to me? I love princes and prince stories and king and queen stories. I remember there were those stories about those princes that would want the hand of the king's daughter and all the things that he had to go through to get her. But what would it be? And, you know, I read the story of Esther. Esther was given access unto the half of his kingdom. He extended his scepter to her. You know, the Lord, this morning, the Lord is extending his grace to us just like that. And he said, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you. He gives more. He gives it to the humble. Also, let's see, there's a scripture here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul was dealing with a very miserable kind of trial. And he asked the Lord to remove the trial. Was there any failure of the Lord here? When he prayed three times and said, please remove this. I don't know what this is. I don't know how to deal with it. This is really, I just feel oppressed by Satan. How many of us have been there? I've been there. There's something that the Lord said to him that it really has resonated with me. Verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. He alone knows the depth of our needs from day to day. Whatever grace it is that you need. If you're a mother dealing with a child, you don't know what to do many, many times. And you have this sense that if I do the wrong thing right now, it's just fatal and it'll be awful for the rest of my life. I remember thinking that way as a mother, thinking, I've ruined it now. The whole rest of our lives are ruined because I've just made this awful goof up. And I wasn't a good mom, and I just don't feel like I can do this, and I want out of this. And, you know, you go through times like that as a mother. You know there's more grace. There's grace, and it's sufficient. And it's free as the air we breathe. Enablement from God. No, I don't deserve it. And no, I've asked before so many times. And you just almost feel like, okay, I just can't ask anymore. I should have this. I should just have this lesson down. Here I am again, Lord. I need help here. Well, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. In our times of weakness, that's when we can access God's strength. So, I believe we have these answers here. How can I appropriate this offered grace? I just kind of passed over the one in Ephesians where he said, by grace are you saved through faith. I think the first thing is to just believe that it's there. Believe in it. Believe that I see shining down, that's given so freely. Believe that it's for me. Believe that I can have it. Believe that he will give it to me if I ask. Believe that he includes even me in his offer. These things are very comforting. Let's go then to Hebrews chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. Verse 14. Well, from 11 on down to 16, we have three great admonitions. The first one is, let us labor, therefore, to enter into his rest. The second one is in verse 14, let us hold fast our profession. And the third one is in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly. Those are in order. He gives us the commandment to labor to enter into his rest. Lest you get discouraged in your quest, he said, let us hold fast our profession. And then when you feel like, oh, it's just nearly lost my efforts to really access this and gain this victory, it's just near, and then he says, let us come boldly, confidently. But in verse 15, he says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Which is a kind of a long way around of saying we have a high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We're not praying to someone who doesn't know. We're not praying to someone who has no idea. But remember, the Holy Spirit was not poured out to the church until Christ had come, lived in the flesh, experienced what we experience, taken our death upon him and our sin, and became our substitute. Then he ascended to heaven and poured out the gift of his Spirit. You know why it was in that order? Why? It's because now when we have need, we experience our different kinds of temptations and griefs and sorrows, we can have confidence that he knows, that he experienced it. And so that Spirit is poured out upon us in that way. From a place of knowledge, from a place of understanding. I was tempted just like you were. Yes, I know what kind of grace you need. Yes, it's offered to you and accessible to you. Because I know. Because I understand. So he gives that to us. We don't have a high priest that can't be touched, but we do have a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Let us therefore, because that's true, let us therefore come boldly or confidently, come with confidence unto the throne of grace. Now what does this give you? A throne many times seems inaccessible. Especially God's throne. You can't approach him. He's dwelling in a light that said that no one can approach unto. But because Jesus came, because Jesus intercedes from that throne, we have access to the throne. It just kind of bathes the throne scene in tenderness and love, not inaccessibility, not cold, sterile environment that you can't touch. But with Jesus ascended there, seated there, pouring out his grace and his Spirit, we can go. We can go confidently with these promises that we've had here today. My grace is sufficient for you. The Lord, I didn't mention the one in Psalm 84, 11, but it says, the Lord will give grace and glory. His saving health, his healing rays, his grace that is sufficient, the fullness of his grace, truth and grace, grace upon grace, all of these that we've read this morning and promised to us. He said, let us therefore come confidently unto the throne of grace, endless supply, the very fountain source, pouring out constantly, constantly what we need, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm so thankful for that grace to help in time of need. You can come anytime, during the night, in the day. You may have already prayed and read your Bible and think, well, you know, why am I experiencing this trial? Why is this happening? Just come boldly again to the throne. You don't even have to go back to your room or go somewhere. You don't have to come to service for you. Just where you are, just begin asking, Lord, I need your grace. I need your strength in this situation. Lord, we need you to appear to us again. That's what the Lord can do. The other day, I want to personally testify about this. Friday, we were anticipating Tristan and Valerie and their family coming. And we had problems. They did and we did about this whole thing. And I had been sick and wasn't seeming to get over it. And I didn't want them coming and getting my sickness. They had been sick and were coughing and weren't sleeping and feeling bad. And the flights were they were not able to be changed or transferred or refunded. What to do? What do we do? Valerie and I talked that morning. She said, Mom, I don't know what to do. And I said, I don't know what to do either. And the day before, I believe it was either the day before or the day before that, I had been going through a very strange spiritual battle, spiritual struggle, and just crying out to the Lord constantly for His help. And one day I went out and I just sat on the porch, and the sun was just about to go behind the hill, but it shone so steadily down, and it was warming in the cool air. The sun was warming, and it was just like I opened to it, and my heart was crying to the Lord, and He gave me that verse of song, "All His grace is free. As the air we breathe, we may each have a full supply." And I believed it. I didn't feel it. I didn't feel any different, but I believed it. And I said, Lord, thank You. I believe that You're answering my need and that You have grace for me. Thank You. And I turned and went back inside, and I felt like, well, I needed that. Thank You, Lord. And then we had the situation with our sicknesses the next day. So we agreed. Valerie said, well, let's pray for the Lord to give us an undeniable witness that either He doesn't want us to come, it would be dangerous for us to come with the baby sick and to get on the plane, and would it make her worse, and would we just have a really bad time, or does the Lord want us to come? Either way, help us to have a strong warning from the Lord to not come, or a strong peace. And so I was still thanking the Lord for this grace thought of the day before. So I began to look to the Lord for that. And I was seeking in the scriptures about light. One scripture that came to my mind was, when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. And another one says, the Lord will enlighten my darkness. And another one says, to the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. And so I was reading all of those, and there was a chain in my Bible that listed a lot of those scriptures. So I was going to the next one in the chain, and it was this one, Isaiah 58. And verse 8, it said, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. And I just kind of opened my eyes wide, and I said, that's what we need. We just need the Lord to cause our health to just immediately get better. Because we have a deadline, and I told the Lord, Lord, I never want to place deadlines on You, but we unfortunately have a deadline today. We've got to know in a certain amount of time whether this is going to work. Lord, we need You to work. And the Lord gave me this promise, and immediately I felt so much better. My head started clearing up. My throat cleared up. And in a little bit, Valerie called and she said, we're on our way. I said, well, thank the Lord. She said, well, we felt good about it, and I'm feeling better, and the baby's feeling better. And I said, well, I'm feeling better, and I've got a scripture. And I just shared that with her, and it was just so exciting. I just looked at the whole thing, and I said, Lord, You have just taught me some things that I didn't know about Your grace, about how strong the influence is, and how sweet it is to the feeling that You have for us, the tender quality that you bear in your mind toward your children and what we go through, and just how merciful you are, and just how you love to do things for us. It was just, I was just so blessed. And I just said, Lord, you have given us an unmistakable, even physical, tangible evidence of this wonderful thing, and that you have caused us to feel. And so they came, and baby did all right, and she's been fine, and just the Lord has just showed his grace. Here's what it made me want to do. It made me want to show that same kind of favor and love to everybody. Undeserving, people that maybe used to offend you or irritate you. How about let's give grace? Let's give out that special love to give feeling, love to do something for you. I know we don't have what God has to give, but I believe the Lord wants to extend grace to other people in and through us. Many times they won't know about it unless they see it enacted by us. Grace, in just to go through life with the thought of grace to you, grace to you, grace to you. Everybody, just give them a little picture of that beautiful light that heals and helps and enables. Amen. May the Lord bless his word.